Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Tzadi Daled. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 5 lines from the top of Daf Tzadi Daled. The Gemara opens with a quote from the Mishnah, Es hachai b'mito, if someone carries out on Shabbos from a private to a public domain, a person that's lying in a bed. So, he is potter, he is exempt, he is not guilty of hoitso, af al hamito, even with regard to the fact that he is carrying out a bed. This is along the lines of the theme that was established in the Mishnah, that when you have a vessel or receptacle holding something that is more important, so the receptacle becomes nullified. With respect to that which it is carrying. Then the question is, so why is there an exemption for that which he is carrying? So in the case of food, pachos mikashir, the exemption is because the food is less than the requisite quantity. In this case, we're talking about carrying out a live person on a bed. He is exempt for carrying the live person because of a concept known, and we've featured this under our nosei, our topic heading in the margin, where we've written chai nosei es atzmo. A living creature is said to carry itself. Now, we're not talking about something that's floating, but in terms of carrying itself, it means that unlike a sack of potatoes that someone carries out, where the item being carried is completely motionless and I am totally responsible for its motion, with regard to a live creature, so it repositions itself as you are carrying it out. And the fact that it's assisting, so to speak, in the balance or in its repositioning to make it easier to carry, so therefore there is a concept of it said to be carrying itself. In the Gemara here, there are two points or two issues, and we've written, Bechol Balei Chaim, is this concept relevant to all living creatures, or Rak Eitzel Odom, or just by a man being carried out in a bed. So now let's turn to the Gemara. Lemo Masnisin Rabbi Noson Hivaloi Rabbonan. This is a question that, should we say that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Nosson, who we will see very shortly in a Tanaic source, and not according to the Rabbanan? So let's see the Tanaic source in which these opinions are featured. Hamotzi behemo chayav oif l'rushus harabim, a person who carries out different animals or birds into a public thoroughfare. Bein chayin ubein shchutin chayav, whether they are alive or if they are slaughtered, so one is guilty. Rabbi Nosson Omer al shchutim chayav, if they are slaughtered, so you're in effect carrying something that's dead, or you're carrying out some meat. So that's no different than carrying anything else out into the public thoroughfare, so he's chayav. The al chayin potur, however, if they are alive, so it will be exempt. Shehachai nosei es atzmo. And here you have the concept of that which is living is said to carry itself. Therefore, I am not exclusively responsible. And hence, I am not responsible at all. So at this point, it would seem that the Mishnah that says if you carry a chai b'mitas potter would be along the lines of Rabbi Nosson's opinion, not along the lines of the Rabbonah. Omar Rava. Rava says, Afilu Tema Rabbon, you can say that our Mishnah is in accordance with the Rabbonon. Ad kan lo pligi Rabbonon ole de Rabbi Nosson elo bebehemo chayaviyoif. Up till this point, the controversy that we saw in the source just quoted is with regard to animals and birds. De misharbati nafshayu. They slip away from you. Rashi says, Mishamtim klape mato umachbidim atzmon lahashmit miyad hanoson. When you're trying to carry them, so they try to move away. They don't cooperate, so to speak. So they weigh themselves down by moving away from the one carrying them, making it more difficult to carry them. Aval adam chai, but carrying a live person, dinose es atzmo, he doesn't want to fall, so a living person that you're carrying helps reposition himself in such a way that makes it easier to carry him. Afilu Rabbonan Modu, even the Rabbonan will concede that you are exempt. So our Mishnah that says es hachai b'mita, working with the assumption that a chai is a person, because the Mishnah also mentions a mace, which is a dead person. So a living person, everyone will agree, if you carry him outside, even in a bed, you will be exempt. The Gemara asks a question. This question is a long question. You can see there's a kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. In order to appreciate the question, a measure of background is necessary. So the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah mentions that there is a prohibition of selling animals to Gentiles. And there are different, regarding different animals and different opinions, there are different reasons. But without getting into the details, which is an extensive topic in Maseches Avodah Zarah, let us mention that there is a train of thought that says that animals that would ordinarily are used for Meleches Shabbos, for activities that would constitute a Meleches Shabbos. For example, an ox that you would use for plowing. You cannot sell an ox to a Gentile because you by our allowing you to sell it to him, you might come to loan him or rent it to him. If you, let us say, loan him your ox and you're a Jew, there is a Torah obligation that your animals are to cease from creative activity from Meleches Shabbos when it comes to Shabbos. So if I were to loan him my animal and the Gentile will use it for prohibited Shabbos activities, I, the owner of it, am in effect in violation of a Torah precept of allowing of the necessity of one's animals being at a state of non-activity, if we call sometimes call it a state of rest, on Shabbos. So therefore, the Rabbonin imposed an additional restriction. Don't even sell him an animal, because selling them, you might come to loan it to them. And if you loan it to them, they'll end up doing a Torah prohibition. We're going to see shortly in the Gemara, Ben Becerra has an opinion that we allow you to sell to the Gentiles horses. Horses are not animals generally used for plowing. They are used for riding. Let us say that by my allowing you to sell a Gentile a horse, might I not come to loaning him the horse, and the Gentile will ride the horse on Shabbos? That may be, but riding a horse on Shabbos is not a Torah-level prohibition. It is merely rabbinic in nature. So, with regard to a horse, the worst-case scenario would be a rabbinic-level prohibition. Therefore, Ben Becerra is of the opinion that we don't restrict sales of horses to Gentiles, which itself would be a rabbinic prohibition, simply in anticipation of an additional rabbinic prohibition being violated. That we would call a gzera l'gzera. So, let us, with that background in mind, now turn to the Gemara. This is a long question. Up till now, though, we are saying that Rabbi Nosson and the Rabbonin as well, and we have to emphasize, this is the point, the Rabbonin as well are in agreement with one another with regard to our Mishnah, that the Chai Nose Es Atzmo is true with regard to human beings. The Rabbonin's difference with Rabbi Nosson was only with regard to animals. Now the Gemara. Omar Le Rav Ado Bar Avo Le Rava. V'ha Disnan Ben Becerra Matir Besus. Ben Becerra, which is a Tanaic opinion, allows the sale of horses to Gentiles. V'tanya, Ben Becerra matir besus mipnei shu oiseh boi melocha she'en chayovin olov chatas. The reason he allows the sales of horses is because a horse does activity that itself would never come to a sin offering obligation, which is another way of saying would never come to a Torah level violation, which would generate a chiyuv chatos if done b'shogig, done unwittingly. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Becerra v'Rabbi Nosson omru davar echad. Rabbi Yochanan adds that ben Becerra and Rabbi Nosson are of the same opinion. They would have said the same thing. V'i amris de lo pligi rabbonon ole de Rabbi Nosson. If you are going to say, like Rava suggested, that the rabbonon that we saw in the source above do not disagree with Rabbi Nosson ella bevehemo chayav yoif mishum demesharbati nafshayu, the only reason that the rabbonon were restrictive in the source above is because you were dealing with the carrying of a behemoth chayav yoif that are mesharbati, they try to slip away and make things more difficult in being carried. But a person who is being carried, imagine a person who is riding on a horse, the person is being carried. So we said for the carrying of a person, there would be exemption because of the concept of chai noisei es atzmoi. That being said, my irya ben Becerra v'Rabbi Nosson, why did Rabbi Yochanan emphasize in his presentation, three lines above, that Ben Becerra and Rabbi Nosson are in agreement? Even the Rabbonon would agree. If the Rabbonon are said to say that the carriage of a person is something that doesn't lead to a Torah level violation of because of the concept of Chai Noisei Es Atzmo, it wouldn't be just Ben Becerra and Rabbi Nosson that would allow the sale of a horse. The Rabbonon would also allow the sale of a horse. After all, the horse is used for carrying a person, and a person wouldn't lead to the carriage of a person wouldn't lead to a Torah level violation, even when a horse is carrying him, and there'd be no iser of shvisas behemto with regard to the carriage of a person. So, very simply, the question is, why does Rabbi Yochanan, just a few lines above, put two names together, Ben Becerra and Rabbi Nosson, when he could have said the Rabbonon as well? The Gemara answers, Ki Omar Rabbi Yochanan, when Rabbi Yochanan said that Ben Becerra and Rabbi Nosson say are one and the same, Besus Ham Yuchad La'oifos, we're talking about the sale of horses that are used for the carrying of birds. And the Rabbonon don't agree when it comes to the carrying of birds. There is a problem of hoitzah that is shayach to, that is relevant to the carriage of birds. The Gemara asks, Umiko susam yuchad lofos, is there such a thing as a horse used for carrying birds? In Ika de Bay Vaidon, there is such a thing, like the horses of Bay Vaidon. Rashi explains about halfway down the Omit. Rashi says, the Bay Vaidon, these are horses, shotzai de oifos, these are horses used by trapsmen, shenoisim alasus oifos kishen chayin, they put birds on the back of horses when they are alive, kagon nates, umino, lotsud shar oifos, these are birds of prey, we'll call them hunting birds, and nates is an example of a hunting bird. People use them to catch other birds. The lo misharbati nafshayu de lo kshiri, they don't slip away. Vahashtunami achai noisias atzmo, and the concept of chai noisias atzmo can apply to these birds that are being carried on the horses. Umishum hachi omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Becerra Rabbi Nosson omru dover echad. And it's because of that that Rabbi Nosson, that Rabbi Yochanan said that Ben Becerra Rabbi Nosson are, say, one and the same thing. They address the issue of these kind of birds that don't slip away. However, the Rabbonon mentioned specifically Rava mentioned specifically above that the Rabbanan aren't as inclusive. They don't extend their remarks to Oifos. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Umoide Rabbi Noson Bekofus. Rabbi Yochanan will concede when your Rabbi Yochanan mentions, that is, that Rabbi Noson, who was lenient in the realm of bird carrying or animal carrying, he will be moide lahachmir, that there will be a violation of hoitzah bekofus if the animal or the person is tied up. We should point out that we have a diamond around Rabbi Yochanan because we're trying to highlight the maimros of Rabbi Yochanan in this discussion. Omar le Rav Ado bar Matono le Abaye. So Rav Ado asks, Vohani Parsoi. Parsoi are Persians. In fact, we'll talk about Persian soldiers. Dekeman dekfisi domu. They are as if they are tied up. They're heavily laden with armor. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Besera Rabbi Noson Omru Dover Echad. We know that the Parsoi are like, they're as if they're tied up. And Rabbi Yochanan said that ben Besera, along with Rabbi Noson, allow the sale of horses to the Persians. So if I'm selling horses to Persians, and the Persians are as if they are like they're tied up, so then Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that Rabbi Noson will be mekil even the kofus, even when tied up, because the Persians that ride these horses are so laden with their armor that they are like they're like tied up, and he allows it. So how can the previous statement in the diamond of Rabbi Yochanan say that Rabbi Noson will be moide, he will concede to a stringency with something that is kofus, that is tied up, when we see that's not the case? The Gemara answers, with regard to the Persians, they're not tied up, and they're not as if they're like they're tied up either. Hasam ramus ruchahu denokik lehu. It's their seeming lack of movement when they are all in army armed gear is a function of their pride or their haughtiness. In other words, it's beneath their dignity, so to speak, to walk, and they only ride. That created the impression that they're tied up, that they're not able to walk. They're able to walk. They're able to move themselves, but out of pride, they object to anything other than being ridden around on a horse. And to illustrate this, Dahu Par Dashcha, there was an officer, the Rosach Malki Luya, that the king became enraged with him. The Rohit Tlosa Parsi Bekare. Parsi is a measure of distance. He ran 3 Parsi by foot. Kare by foot. So we see that they're quite capable of moving, and that the example of the sale to the Parsayim is not an example of Kofus at all. But if someone is actually tied up, then Rabbi Noson will concede that one must exercise restriction and stringency in such a case, that would constitute a Shabbos violation. The Gemara continues. Es hameis b'mita chayov v'chein kizayis min hameis v'Rabbi Shimon poter. Rabbi Shimon was lenient even with regard to one carrying a corpse on a bed outside from one's house to the outdoors on Shabbos. We have to understand Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Omar Rabo Babachanam Rabbi Yochanan, the Omar of Yosef Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish, Poter Hoya Rabbi Shimon Af Bemotzi. We are continuing here at the top of Omid Beis. Af Bemotzi Es Hameis Likovro. he will exempt from the Isur Hoitzah even if someone carries a corpse out of his house for burial on Shabbos. And when we speak about the exemption, we're talking about the Hoitzah, the Isur Hoitzah, where he's carrying him out. He has a purpose in mind. He's carrying him out to be buried. We should mention that with regard to Shitas Rabbi Shimon, he has a concept of an exemption for a melacha she'eino tzricha legufa, where you are performing an act, a Shabbos act, or Shabbos, an act prohibited on Shabbos. However, you are doing the act with an intention other than, we'll say, its designed purpose. And when we say its designed purpose, we are making reference to the reason for different activities done in the construction of the Mishkan. When it comes to Hoitzah, the Gufa, the Tzorech Gufa of Hoitzah is my interest in having the item that I am carrying reach its destination, where the destination is the main consideration. However, when I carry a body out of my house, my intention is that it shouldn't be where it is right now. The destination, the place that I eventually deposit the body, place the body, is of secondary importance. And hence, if you hold like Rabbi Shimon that malacha shein tzricha legufa is potter, so carrying out a body will be exempt. And what we are seeing in our Gemara is an additional level of chidush, where you've got Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish saying that Rabbi Shimon's exemption even goes to a case where you're carrying the mace and not just leaving him in the street, but you're actually putting the body where it belongs, namely in a grave. Rashi at the top says, "Af b'motzias hamace l'kovah," we're at the top of Omid Beis, "v'lo tema," don't say, "lo potar elo b'manicho l'chutz," don't say that Rabbi Shimon mentions his exemption only in a case where you simply drop the body outdoors. "D'ein sorech lo l'gufo shel motzi, v'lo l'gufo shel hoitzah," where in that case, so there is no tzorech gufo for the person carrying him out. In other words, the person has no, we'll say, personal gain, and there is no purpose l'tzorech gufa of the hoitzah. Da'afilu hu tzorech hameis potter, even where I am carrying the body out for the body's benefit, in other words, for its burial, he still will be exempt. And the reason is, as Rashi points out, is because the person who's carrying out doesn't have a, we'll say, a personal goal or personal gain in this particular transport or transition of place. True, it's for the benefit of the corpse, but the person himself doesn't benefit from it. Omar Rava, Umoide Rabbi Shimon b'mor lachpor bo v'sefer Torah likros bo dechayav. Rabbi Shimon will agree that there is guilt if one carries a shovel out. A mor is a shovel or some type of a farm implement to dig with it, or a sefer Torah to read from it. In other words, in the place that it is being brought. So the Gemara asks, Pshita, well, that's obvious. If I carry a shovel out because I want to dig with it in some second location, or I carry a Sefer Torah out to some other place because I want to read it over there, it's obvious that the person who's carrying it out will be chayav. That's a classic Shabbos violation. De'i ha nami melacha she'ena tzricha legufahi, if you're going to say that that is also not tzricha legufa, so how would you ever have a case of a malacha shetzricha legufa with regard to hoitzah according to Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara answers, and this answer is explaining what I might have thought, and namely what I need Rava for. Mahu detema, I might have thought, Adiika legufo u legufa, where the purpose of the carrying of the item has a dual purpose, that namely it benefits the item being carried and it benefits the person who is carrying it. Kagoin, what would a case like that be? Kagoin more, for example, someone carrying a shovel, lasas lo tas vilachpor, where I'm carrying out the shovel to improve its blade. The tas is a plate that it should be, let's say, I'm carrying out the blade the shovel with its blade attached to sharpen the blade and to dig with it. Well, in such a case, so it's for the benefit of the item, the improved blade, and for the benefit of the person because he wants to dig with it. Likewise, Sefer Torah, Lahagia Velikros Bo, where I would carry a Sefer Torah to check it for mistakes. That's for the benefit of the Sefer Torah and Likros Bo, and for reading from it, namely to benefit the person, where there was a dual benefit. Komash Malon Rava reveals to us that you don't have to have a dual benefit. What you need to have is that the person who is carrying out, he derives benefit from the item. And that is not the case where someone is carrying the mace out of his house, even if it is for the burial of that body, where he carries it out on Shabbos. The Gemara. Hahu shachva dehave bedrukra. There was a corpse, a shachva is a corpse, in a place named Drukra. Shara Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok lafuke lekarmelis. Rav Nachman allowed it, the body, to be carried out from a house to a Carmelis. A Carmelis is a non-Torah level Hotzah violation. Carmelis is a domain that's not classified as a Rishus HaYachad nor a Rishus HaRabim. So a person was carrying it from a house to the Carmelis. And Rav Nachman said, you're allowed to carry the body out to the Carmelis. Amale Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, Achva, Demor, Breda, Ravna. We have a question that lasts a couple of lines, and hence we used a long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. So Rav Yochanan, the brother of Mor, Breda, Ravna, asks L'Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Keman, Kerevi Shimon, is Rav Nachman's ruling here in conformity to Rabbi Shimon? Amar, the Pota Rabbi Shimon, Mechiv Chatos. As far as Rabbi Shimon's opinion is, he simply exempts from the need to bring a sin offering. Namely, Rabbi Shimon says that he is not at a Torah level violation when he carries a body outside. Isura d'rabbanan mi'aika. However, a rabbinic violation there certainly is. So how can Rav Nachman go all the way and allow the carrying out, albeit to a carnalist, but he doesn't have any Tanaic source to rely on? Omar Lay, so Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok responds, Hu Elokim da'ailus be'at. Hu Elokim is an expression of like oath or exclamation. You could bring the body in. The Afimu Rabbi Yehuda, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that is stringent with regard to a molocha she'eino tzricha legufa. Demi ko'amino l'rishus harabim. Did I say that you can have the body carried from a private to a public thoroughfare? Look, Carmelis Carmina, all I said was that the body can be carried from the house to a Carmelis. And this is in order to preserve human dignity, that a person shouldn't have to sit and spend his Shabbos next to a corpse. Rashi says, Lafuke le Carmelis, because where it was right now, it was muto bebizoyon, or there was a state of indignity or a fear of it being consumed by a fire. Hence, you could carry it out for what's called kovod habrios, for the preservation of human dignity. And this concept of preservation of human dignity is a very strong legal consideration. We say, Godol Kavod Habrios, great is the issue of respect or dignity of people, that it has the ability of overruling a negative command in the Torah, but specifically the negative command that gives license for the rabbis to issue their rulings, which in this case means there is a rabbinic prohibition of moving something from a private domain to a karmelis. But since the body was lying in the private domain in a state of indignity, we allow the moving of the body to the karmelis because of this rule that Kovod HaBrios is doche the standard rulings of the Rabbanan. And again, once again, the rabbinic ruling that we're talking about here is the of the prohibition of moving something from a private domain to a karmelis. So that is what we are allowing in order to preserve the dignity of the corpse. Tanan Hossam. We have a Tanaic source, and this discussion opens up seemingly unrelated to our Gemara. However, later in the Gemara, Rav Sheshes, who will appear in this discussion, brings a proof to his position from our Mishnah, and that's what the connection between this discussion and our sugya is. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the side, the Nosei, HaTolesh Simone Tara, one who removes the signs that would lead to Tara of a person, or more accurately, we should say Simone Tumo, HaTolesh Simone Tumo. We are talking about tsaras, the realm of tsaras, which is a type of skin discoloration that leads to tumah of the person. In the realm of tsaras, we know that if there is a white spot on a white spot of specific size, we won't get into the details right now, that appears on a person, and two white hairs grow forth from the spot, so the person is called a mitzora muchlat. However, if the hairs fall out, so then he is no longer considered a muchlat. He can achieve tahara by the absence of the hairs. Therefore, if one, we should note that there's a Torah violation, a Torah prohibition of your actively intervening and removing from your body the signs of tumah. So the removal of the signs of tumah is a Torah violation. That's the background. Now we turn to the Gemara. Tanan Hossam, HaTolish Simoni Tumah, one who pulls out the white hairs that we just referred to, and the hichfa hamichvia. This is another tumah removal situation where there is a michya type. Michya is the name of a type of skin discoloration that leads to tumah. And if you're machve is to you scald or you burn the michya, that would remove the tumah. Oifer beloisase. He is in violation of the Torah prohibition that says he shomer benegat soras. Itmar achas mishtayim chayav. If a person has the two white hairs that were a sign of soras, and he removes one of the two white hairs, and as we mentioned before, there is no tuma. Say muchlat tuma status unless there are the two white hairs. So if he removes the two white, if he removes one of the two hairs, he is in violation of this isser of Tlishas Simone Tuma. Why? Because there's by one hair remaining, so he's no longer classified as tome. Achas Misholosh. Let's say a person had in fact three of these white hairs, and the Kohen had declared him to be a Metzora, and I come along and pull out one of the three hairs. The fellow remains Tomei, obviously, because he still has two white hairs. Is there a prohibition in removing one of three? Rav Nachman Amar Chayav, Rav Sheshes Amar Poter. There is a controversy, Rav Nachman saying that even removing one of three hairs is guilty. Rav Nachman Amar Chayav. Why? Why is he guilty? Ahani Maisov, because his action of removing the third hair, that means the one of three hairs, is of effect. Ahani Maisov, his Maisa, his act of removal, Ahani has an effect. How? It has an effect in potential. De'i mishtaklo chado achriti, if one more hair will fall out, Aslo lo tuma, the tuma will cease, will go away. So that I am, by removing the one of the three hairs, I'm setting up the grounds for the person achieving tuma in the event that one more hair falls out. Rav Sheshes Omar Potter, Rav Sheshes says he's exempt. Hashtami asho iso lo tuma. My action hasn't accomplished anything right now. In other words, my action doesn't matire him, being that the ha'isa l'tuma, the tuma is still there. Omar Rav Sheshes, Mino Amin Olah. You'll notice we squiggle underline this, the Rav Sheshes Mino Amin Olah. From where do I know this? So as to set up the Gemara to present Rav Nachman a little later, where you see his name is squiggle underline, where you see his response. So Rav Sheshes says, from where do I know my point that he's exempt? Disnan, the source, our Mishnah said, V'chein kezayis min ames, u'kezayis min nevelo, chayov. If one carries out an olive quantity of corpse meat or of dead animal meat, so he will be guilty of hoitzah on Shabbos. Ha chatzi zayis poter. However, if he were to carry out half an olive quantity, he will be exempt. V'hotanya, but do we not have a teaching, a source that says chatzi zayis chayov, that if he carries out a half an olive quantity of corpse meat, he will be guilty? So how do you resolve these two sources? My love, is it not so? Ha, desanyo chayov, the source that says he is chayov, de'apik chatzi zayis mikazayis. He carried out a half a kazayis from a place, from a house in which there was a full kezias, a full zayas quantity. So by removing half of the zayas, ahani maisov, we can say, my action has a legal benefit insofar as the house is not going to be tame anymore. When you have an olive quantity of corpse matter in a house, so there is tumas oil, the whole house is considered tame. However, by removing, and therefore, by removing half of that quantity, I am removing the tuma from the house. The hod is non potter, the source that says he is exempt, is the apik chatzi zayis mikazayis umechtso, where he is removing a half olive quantity from a situation, from a house, in which there was 1.5 olive quantities of corpse meat. And what do we see? That by removing a half quantity, but there remains a quantity sufficient for generating tumah, so I have really accomplished nothing, and therefore there is no Isur Hoitzah. And Rav Sheshes is trying to say, just like there, where there remains a sufficient quantity to continue the tumah, likewise with removing one of three hairs of tumah, I'm leaving behind a sufficient quantity to continue the tumah. Therefore, he should be exempt. Rav Nachman's response, Idi v'Idi Chayov. The two scenarios that were just presented with regard to Hoitzah, whether there is one kezias or there is a kezias umechtso, and I am removing a half a kezias, both cases will be chayav. V'ha desnan poter, the source that was quoted above, that we inferred from our Mishnah, where if you were to move a chatzi zayas, you would be exempt. The apik chatzi zayas mimeis godol. It's where you removed a chatzi zayas, a half an olive quantity from what the Gemara says, a large body, but that's lav dafka, as Tosfos points out. It simply means a quantity more than just an exact 1.5. If you, let's say there were 2 gzesim or 3 gzesim quantity of mace material, and I removed a mere half kezias, I haven't set up a situation where the next removal will result in Tahara. However, says Rav Nachman, if it were on the borderline or on an exact measure of 1.5, and I removed the half kezias, setting up a situation where the next removal, whatever amount, will result in tahara, so the removal of the chatzitzayis under those circumstances will be chayav. We continue with a new Mishnah, and the new Mishnah deals with the topic of removing one's nails or hair, as we will shortly see, as well as other cosmetic activities that one might do on Shabbos and result in a violation. The Mishnah: Hanoitel tziponav zu bazu, one who removes his fingernails, using one hand to remove the nail from the other hand. O b'shinov, or he bites his nails. V'chein siro, likewise one who removes hair, plucks out hair from his head using his hand. V'chein svamo, and similarly his mustache. V'chein zikono, his beard. V'chein other activities, other cosmetic activities. Ha godeles. Godelis is a hair-related activity that is possibly braiding one's hair. V'chein ha-kocheles. Kocheles is the application of an eye cosmetic, a certain type of color. Women color their eyes. And v'chein ha-pokeses. Regarding pokeses, Rashi has a couple of explanations, his own and his Rabosai explanation. And the first explanation that Rashi quotes is a woman who parts her hair, and the second explanation is a type of dough application to her flesh. Upon its removal, her skin is reddened. So, regarding these activities, Rabbi Eliezer mechayev v'chachomim osrin mishum shvus. Rabbi Eliezer says there is in all of these activities described in the Mishnah, there's a Torah level violation, and the Chachamim say there is a rabbinic level prohibition here. As we go on in the Gemara, we glance at the side of the Gemara under our Nosei Mivneh heading, where we feature a triangle. These are Memros Shel Rebelozer. We have comments of Rebelozer that are highlighted. Beinyan Netilas Tziporen, with regard to the removal of fingernails, biyad and bikli, by hand or with a designed vessel like a nail scissors or a nail clipper. And a second level of analysis will be la'atzmo and l'chavera, where he removes it for himself, his own, or he removes his friend's nails. The Gemara. Amar Reb Elozer. It's also worth pointing out that this is an Amora, that so as not to confuse the name with Rabbi Eliezer that appears in the Mishnah. So Amar Reb Elozer, Machloikis Biyad. The controversy in the Mishnah between Reb Elozer and the Chachomim is with regard to removal by hand. Avo Bikli, Divrei HaKol Chayav. But if one uses a nail clipper, everyone agrees that he will be guilty, even the Rabbonan. Will be guilty, meaning on a Torah level. Pshita, well, what seems to be obvious, that which Rabbi Elozer is telling me right now, zu bazu tanan. The Mishnah specifically says he removes fingernails with his fingers, namely by hand. And that is when you have the controversy, leaving it obvious that if you were to use a kli, a vessel, even the Rabbonin will be strict. So the Gemara says, well, it's not so obvious, and I need Rebbe Elozer to tell me that the machlokis is biyad. Mahu detemo, namely, without Rebbe Elozer telling me this, mal detemo, I would have thought, Rabbonan bikli nami patri. The Rabbonan would exempt even by using a nail clipper, thinking that the iser of gozes, which is what we're talking about, gozes, technically speaking, is the shearing of sheep. Shearing animal hairs. So I might have thought that the Rabbonan would say using a nail clipper is also a mere rabbinic violation, being that the Iser Gozes applies only to the wool of an animal. And of course we are, that's what Rebbe Lozer is dispelling right now. But that's what I might have thought. The ha dikotani zu bezu, and that which it says in the Mishnah, using the use of hands, that's lo diachal kochot Rebbe Lozer, to show us how far Rebbe Lozer goes, that even removal by hand is a Torah level violation. So the Mishnah had an interest in featuring manual or hand removal, hand by hand, that means using your one hand to remove the fingernails from the other hand, to show us how far Rebbe Lezer goes to say that even that case is a Torah level violation. Komash Malon, so Rebbe Lezer tells us that the Mishnah's purpose is not teaching, it doesn't teach zu bazu for the sake of, the Mishnah teaches zu bazu for the purpose of, in fact, making the inference that we did. That it's only in the case of zu bazu that there is a machlokes, but in the case of kli, using a nail clipper or scissors, that would be a Torah level violation, even according to the Rabbanan. The Omar Rebbe Lozer continues and says, machlokes le'atzmo. The machlokes in the Mishnah is where you're removing the nails for yourself. Avo lechavero, if you are removing your friend's fingernails, divrei hakol poter. Everyone will agree, even Rebbe Elezer, who was strict in the Mishnah, will agree that you are exempt, meaning it's a non-Torah level violation. And the reason for that is because it's hard to maneuver your hands when you're removing your friend's nails. Rashi says uses the expression le'amein yodo, that's to position or to maneuver or manipulate. So the Gemara says again, pshita, what is Rebbe Lozer telling me that I wouldn't have known on my own? Tziporov tnan. Tziporov means his own fingernails, that the controversy surrounded his own fingernails. And if it's with regard to your friends, so it would be a lower level offense. And Rebbe Lozer, the Atana, would agree that you're exempt. So what do I need Rebbe Lozer for? Mahu detemo. Well, without Rebbe Lozer, I would have thought, Rebbe Eliezer lechavero nami mechayev, that Rebbe Lozer, with regard to his friend's fingernails being removed, he would be guilty. V'ha dekatani tziponov, and that which the Mishnah emphasized, his own lo diacha kochad Rabbanan, to simply show us how far the Rabbanan go in being may kill, to show us how far they are lenient. Komash Molon, so Rebbe Lozer says that's not the purpose of the Mishnah, but rather the Mishnah is being taught for the purpose of, in fact, making the inference that we did, and that when it comes to removing your friend's fingernails, you will be exempt. And we should point out that when it comes to Chavero, even when you're using let's take a look at the Rashi. Avol chavero ein yochol la'amein es yodo lito yofe b'li kli. When you're removing your fingernails of your friend, it's hard to maneuver yourself without the assistance of a vessel. So the chidush of our Mishnah of Rebbe Lozer, that is, in our Mishnah, is that Rebbe Lozer, albeit he said that if you remove your own fingernails by hand, you are guilty of a Torah level violation, but if you remove your friend's fingernails by hand, according to Rashi, you will be exempt. V'chein saro. The Mishnah mentioned the prohibition of removing hairs. Tana, the Tanaic source, teaches Hanoitel Melo Pi Hazug B'Shabbos Chayov. One who removes a scissor full of hair on Shabbos is guilty. V'Kama Melo Pi Hazug. What is meant by that? By a scissor full? Omar Rav Yehuda Shtayim. Two hairs. V'ha Tanya, but we have in the same Brisa, it says, Ule Korachas Shtayim. In other words, in this source, it speaks about Netilas, removal of hairs, Melo Pizug, and Korachas is a violation of one ripping out hairs upon hearing of the death of a loved one. That is measured in terms of two hairs.
So it would seem that notel melo piazug is something different than shtayim, than two hairs. So the Gemara answers, no, emo v'chein l'korachas shtayim, that just like the issur of cutting hairs on Shabbos is two, so two korachas, that issur of tearing out hairs, is in terms of two. Tanya nami hochi. We have a Tanaic source supporting Rav Yehuda. Hanotel melo pi hazug b'Shabbos chayov. One who removes melo pi hazug, quantity of hairs on Shabbos, is guilty. V'kama melo pi hazug, and how much is that? Shtayim. And notice we dashed, underline, this is the focus, the main reason for bringing in this source. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Achas. Rabbi Eliezer says one hair being cut is a violation. And you don't need to have melo pi hazug in order to be guilty. Umodim chachomim Rabbi Eliezer. The chachomim will concede to Rabbi Eliezer b'malakit levonos mitoch shchoros, where a person is removing a white hair from a confluence of black hairs, that even the removal of one is considered a Shabbos violation. The davar zeh, the idea of removing white hairs from one's head, af v'choil osir, even during the weekdays, even if it's not Shabbos, is a forbidden activity. Obviously, not on the grounds of Shabbos violation, but mishum shenemar lo yulbash gever simlas isha, that a male shall not wear the garments of a female. But it's this prohibition is not restricted simply to garments, but let's say feminine behavior on the part of males is forbidden. Females, women, are preoccupied to a greater degree, we'll say, than men with the way they appear, and it's the way of people to remove white hairs so as to create an impression of youthfulness. And this is something that is therefore forbidden even during the weekdays, and all the more so on Shabbos, where you are getting hanoah, you are benefiting from the removal of that singular white hair. Tanya, Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Tziporen Shepiresh Ruba, V'tzitzin Shepirshu Ruban, a fingernail that is mostly detached. It's still hanging on there, but it's ruba, piresh ruba. Piresh is to become separated. Ruba is, the majority is separated. Tzitzin are little strips of skin that surround one's fingernail. Those strips of skin are called tzitzin. So now, if they have become pirshu ruban, mostly detached, well, if you continue their removal biyad, by hand, mutter, it's allowed, bekli chayav chatos. If you use an implement, you would be in violation of a Torah-level offense. Chayav chatos, as we said before, is a way of signifying a Torah-level violation, and the chatos is a sin offering, and therefore if one were to do this inadvertently on Shabbos, using a vessel, using a kli, an implement, he would be chayav a sin offering. Sin offerings are brought only when there is a Torah-level violation, as opposed to a rabbinic violation. The Gemara asks, regarding this source, seems to be something peculiar. Because when it comes to hand removal, we're saying that it is allowed. When it comes to a vessel being used, it's a Torah-level violation. Generally speaking, when you encounter something that is a Torah-level offense, you would expect that the next level would be prohibited on a rabbinic level so as to guard against coming to a Torah-level violation. But in this source, the Gemara asks, Miko midi de bekli chayav chatos, is there anything that if you use a utensil of an implement, so you're on a Torah-level violation, ubiyad mutur lechatchila, and by hand it would be allowed as a first choice? So that's strange. That's not the way halacha is constructed. Therefore, hochi komar. Here we will present a rereading in which everything will fall into place. Pirshu ruban. If the rove, the majority of the fingernail or the strip of skin, became separated, and I come and remove it, biyad muter, bekli poter avaloser, By hand, it's allowed. Using an implement in under the circumstances of rove becoming detached, so it is also not a Torah-level offense, but it is usur. It is rabbinically prohibited. Lo pirshu ruban. However, if the majority has not become detached, it's still majority attached, just slightly detached, then biyad potter, aval usur. Here it drops down one level, or goes up one level, we should say. Using a hand removal will be prohibited, although rabbinically, and bikli chayav chatas. If it's lo pirshu ruban, here is where using the implement would be a Torah-level violation. Omar Rav Yehuda, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rav Yehuda says that the halacha will follow that which we just learned, which was brought to us by Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Omar Rabba bar Rachan Rav Yochanan, v'hu shepirshu klapei malo umitza'aros oso. This is a further limitation of the allowance that we mentioned, that if it's pirshu ruban, it's allowed to be removed by hand. That's provided that the strips of skin have been are peeled away in toward the direction of klapei malo. Rashi explains that's in the direction of the fingernail, which causes him, and mitzaros means it causes him pain. He's discomforted by them. So it's under those circumstances that we will allow, in the case of a pirshu ruban, to be removed by hand. V'chein hagodeles. The Gemara now looks at the different activities mentioned at the end of the Mishnah. Godeles, kocheles, upokeses, mishum mai mechaiva. What is the melacha violation of each one of these activities? In other words, we know there are 39 what's called ovos melachos, and we saw them on daf ayin gimel in the Mishnah over there. And following or under each one of those ovos melachos are different activities that are similar, and they're called toldos. So we want to know these activities mentioned in the Mishnah, which are not formal ovos melachos, but what is their basis? What is the source or the origin of these melachos, of these activities? So Omar Rabbi Ovin, Omar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. We've noted with a double underline, and we've noted this under our Mivneh heading on the side, Shtei Deos Rabbi Yossi, B'divrei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina B'inyan Hanal. Two opinions as to what Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina says regarding this topic. The topic that was featured under our No Say heading that we read already in the Gemara, Godeles, Kocheles, Pokeses, Mishumai, Machaiva. What is the basis of these violations? So we continue in the Gemara with two versions, we'll see, of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Omer Rabbi Ovin, Omer Rabbi Yossi, Godeles, braiding of hair, is mishum oreges, is a violation of weaving. Kocheles, applying the eye shadow, if you will, is mishum kosevis, is a violation of ksiva, of writing. Rashi says mishum kosevis shemolicha makol soviv ayin. The woman in applying this takes an makol as an applicator, and she draws it around her eye. Ka'adam hamolich komu soviv ha'ois, like a person who takes his quill around the letter, draws the borders of the letter. And the Gemara continues, Pokeses mishum tove. Pokeses, which had to do with a hair manipulation, is a violation of tove, is spinning. And we mentioned earlier that Rashi gave two pshatim as to what pokeses is. So one, we said, was a parting of the hair, and the other was a type of dough application to one's flesh to make it red. So how does spinning fit in over here? Spinning like spinning of wool or hairs. How does that fit in here? So Rashi explains on the bottom line of the Rashi, tove shemisakenis, she fixes Syrah, her hair, bein etzbosel, between her fingers, upostosoi kishu nichrach, and straightens them out when they become entangled. That's pokesis, and that's similar in a frame of mind to the activity of tova, of spinning. For lashon sheni, the second lashon, osa me osa botse kemin chut, she makes strings out of the dough. So now the Gemara asks, Omru Rabbanan kamei the Rebbe Avo. The Rabbonan said to Rebbe Avo upon hearing the explanation we just had, v'chi derech arigo bekach, v'chi derech ksiva bekach, v'chi derech tevio bekach. Is this the way of doing those malachas? Is braiding the hair the way? Is that characteristic of weaving and the cosmetic eye application? Is that the way of writing? And is this the way of pokesis? Is that the way we spin things? And as we've mentioned on numerous occasions, Hilchus Shabbos, in order to be in violation on a Torah level of a Shabbos activity, you have to do it in its normal way, in its darko way. These aren't the derech of doing these different malachos. Elo Amar Rabbi Avo, l'didi mifrush l'minei Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. So Rabbi Avo now gives his version of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. It was explained to me in the name of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. We're at the top of Daf Tzadi Hei. Kocheles, the violation of Kocheles is Mishum Tzova'as. That's an act of dying. She's applying this color to her eyes, so it's Tzova'as. Godeles Upokeses, braiding and the Pokeses action, Mishum Boine. There is a violation of building. The Gemara asks, V'chi derech binyan bekach? Would one associate building with one's hair? In fact, yes. Kidedorash Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, as Rabbi Shimon explains the pasuk Vayiven Hashem Elokim Esatzela. This pasuk appears in the creation of man, more specifically of woman. It says in the pasuk that Hashem built up the tzela of Adam. So what does that mean? What is Vayivan? What does this pasuk mean according to Reb Shimon? Melame, this teaches us Shekilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Chava, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu braided the hair of Chava, Ve'evio Eitzel Adam, and brought her in this, we'll say, this beautified way to Adam. Shekein B'Krochei Ayom, Krochei Ayom is a reference to places overseas or outside the land of Israel. Kirin L'Kliosa, they referred to Klia, braiding, by using the word benisa. Notice benisa, like the word vayiven, like the word binyan. So the concept of binyan is relevant to hair. Tanya, we have a Tanaic source, Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Godeles, Kocheles, Upokeses. These different activities. Le'atzma, Ptura. Rashi at the top line says, "She'en yichole livnoi siyofe v'ein derech binyan ela isha lechaverta sheroi v'yose." When a woman does these things to herself, so she's not doing it in the optimal fashion, and therefore it's since it can't be done in the most effective way, it's called ein derech binyan. It's not the normal way. The source goes on, l'chaverta chayeves, but if one woman does it to her friend, she does the kocheles, the godeles, or pokeses actions to her friend, that would result in the Torah level violation, because that's the normal way. V'chein hoya Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, another Shabbos violation he features, Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Rav Shimon Elazar quotes Rabbi Elazar, Isha lo savir srak al poneo mishum she tzova'as. A woman should not apply this type of cosmetic, the srak, which is a type of rouge, red coloring, to her face, because that would be a violation of tzova'as. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.